is for ladies. Ladies only.
Want to learn more about your health and sexuality? Psychology researchers at the University of Michigan are looking for women who are not on the pill to participate in a research study on health and sexuality. Participants will engage in one study session each month for a total of 5 months. So if you are a woman who is between the ages of 18 and 40 in an ongoing relationship with a male partner, not taking hormonal medications, including hormonal contraceptives or the pill, not pregnant, and not breastfeeding, call us for more information at 734-763-7121 or email us at sexresearch@umich.edu. That's 734-763-7121 or sexresearch@umich.edu. This study is being conducted by the Van Anders Lab at the University of Michigan Psychology Department. Study number HUM00025873. Welcome to the Sex and Tell Show. Here we have a new co-host because Sonia is away for a little while. And this is my friend Kate.
Hi.
Hello. And then here we have Alex Champagne.
Hello.
And she works at the Safe Sex Store. And we're going to talk about kink stuff.
Woohoo!
Today. Maybe if you could tell us a little about yourself.
Okay, so I work at the Safe Sex Store. And I'm kind of like the resident kink expert, I guess. And I have been pseudo-tasked with writing a BDSM bondage safety guide. It's a huge project.
You said that you were going to have a seminar before.
Yeah, we were going to have. We're going to have a bondage seminar back in June, but there wasn't enough interest initially. But we're going to have it again in the fall because after we canceled it, a lot of people were like, "No, I want to learn about bondage stuff," and I was like, "Why wouldn't you?"
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And so then the project was put on hold, the bondage guide, because it was going to be about 3 pages. And then I picked it back up about a week ago and started asking some people in my like kink community for advice. And then it turned into about 12 pages. And it's actually going to be a lot harder to pare it down because my answers are really long because I can talk forever.
You should probably just write a book.
Endeavor. I probably should just write actually. A book. I don't know what I would write that other people haven't written, but are there, at some point.
I guess there would be a lot of like BDSM guides and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely. There's a ton of books. Like, mm-hmm. I know, do you know who Tristan Taramino is?
Yes.
Yeah. She wrote... I don't know that. She just wrote a really good book.
I did not know
like,
that.
The ultimate... What is it called? It's like the ultimate kink guide.
They're all ultimate guide. All of her books are the ultimate.
Ultimate blank. Something.
Ultimate.
Just imagine like Super Saiyans on the cover.
Yeah. It's not intense. A lie. I don't think.
No.
It's pretty true.
I know it's the ultimate kink.
Cool.
Something.
Do you have it at the store?
We don't. No. It's like really, really new. Like it just came out like a couple months ago or something. At the store, we do have... the topping book and the bottoming book, which I put in my guide as like resources, or like different loving, which I don't remember who wrote that, but that's more like an academic text of like different types of BDSM and kink interests. And it's really cool because it kind of goes through like, why would somebody want to be beaten with a whip? so it shows like who likes it, why they like it, and then they have like interviews.
Oh, that's interesting. That's
so different loving is an awesome book. I like that one a lot.
That's nice that there's like different kind of breakdowns because everybody has different personalities,
exactly.
Obviously, so they are going to like take in the information differently.
Exactly. And I think when a lot of people think about like kink or BDSM, they think that you have to be really into pain. And if you're not into pain, then you're just not into BDSM, which is so wrong. Like, you know, I started with rope bondage. I wasn't really into pain for a while. And so I started with rope bondage and that doesn't necessarily hurt. Mm-hmm. It can. But it doesn't. You don't have to. And that's like really relaxing if you're in like a secure tie. Or some people don't like either of those. And they like DS, which is like dominant submission. And they like being in those power exchange relationships where like one person takes authority and the other person gives up authority.
Mm-hmm. So it's more like a role play kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like role playing. And then within that DS, you have like different titles that you can have. You have like mistress, slave, or master slave, or like dominant, submissive, things like that. Like sir, thing, mistress, things, you know, all of these titles that people have. So that's what's nice about BDSM is it kind of like blankets the whole thing. And then you get into other things like age play, where people want to be what are called littles, where they like kind of take on a childlike persona. And then somebody is like, they're big, or they're mommy, or they're daddy, and like they take care of them and like play with them, or things like that. And they go through that in different loving too. So like there are lots and lots of different kinks.
Yeah,
there are people with like latex fetishes and like who aren't into any of the other things that I just mentioned, but they really like just people who really like the feel of latex, and they have like latex suits. Like I don't know if you've ever been to like Necto on a Monday night. The people in the latex suits, I don't know. I mean, I can't I've never talked to them. I don't know if they have like a fetish per se, but like
okay, but I can get an image in my mind about
like I can't speak to what they actually feel, but people do like latex, so things like that. Like there are tons and tons of kinks.
Oh, cool.
Tell us a little bit about safety concerns that people might not think about with BDSM.
Safety concerns. So in kink, there are like two camps, kind of, like two mottos. When I first started, the one that I heard the most was safe, sane, and consensual, which is SSC. And that's really the idea that everybody who's going into this like kink community, like you agree to play with somebody, is like you're both agreeing because you know this, that you do it safely and with sound mind. And that's good, but it doesn't allow for the fact that a lot of what we're doing isn't all that safe. And so that's where the other camp comes in, which is RAC, which is risk aware consensual kink, which is what a lot of the people that I know and what I have tended more towards kind of taking on. My safety motto, I guess, if you can have a safety motto. And that is the idea that you're aware of the safety risks and you do what you can to make it, I'm going to say it backwards again, more safe and not less safe. We don't want it to be less safe. We want it to be more safe, right?
Yes.
I wonder if it says something about me that I like can't get that straight.
You know what? Yeah, I think about this sometimes because like I still get left and right mixed up sometimes.
Oh my God, me too.
Oh my God. Yes, we're friends.
Like the left hand.
Okay,
makes
but do you know
L.
the problem with that? I then flip my hands over.
What
and
do
I'm
mean?
Like, but they both mean L's. So like you do this and then you like flip
which
your hands.
Which way is it? Yeah.
Like I don't know. What's the L? So
I did that whenever I like you know when you were a kid and you did like a loser sign in your head.
Yeah.
I was always like. Like wrong way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think
you can
that
like
right.
You can do it like that too. So it's like I confused.
But why would? Okay.
I don't
all
know.
Right. Anyway.
Sorry, radio listeners, you can't see our loser signals on our heads, but you can hear them just fine.
You can tell that we're all losers anyway.
Exactly.
So just imagine three people in a radio station like putting L's on their heads. So you do what you can to make it more safe. So you are really concerned with like first aid kits, and you have a first aid kit with you at all times. And if you, or like if you're doing rope bondage, something that you have to have with you if you're tying somebody up or like doing rope bondage is a set of safety shears, and not just like scissors or
safety
a knife.
Safety shears?
Safety shears, like those bandage scissors.
Oh, okay.
That you get
really
at the store.
Interesting.
But they have to have a blunted edge, or like some people use like rescue hooks for people who do like mountain climbing. So your finger can, I don't really know what they are, but I know they're cool. I know they cut through rope really easily, but they don't really cut skin.
Also something I never thought about,
right?
Like
yeah.
But it makes a lot of sense because you don't want to get trapped.
And so like, you know, say you're tying somebody up and like absolute 100% worst case scenario, somebody goes into like epileptic shock or something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That.
Oh,
you can't have like scissors near, you can't have something pointy near the skin because you're going to hurt them even more. So you need to like cut them out of the, so you need, so things like that. You do what you can to make the experience as safe as possible while still enjoying and playing with the danger of
right,
it,
because it is a risky situation.
It is a risky situation. Yeah.
And what you're talking about seems like a good reason to have something like the sport sheets or whatever, like that we were talking about before.
Oh, yeah,
bondage kits where like there are kind of built-in safety mechanisms where it seems like you're really securely in there, but there's Velcro. So that you can always, in an emergency situation, get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's the thing that you have to be careful with those beginner bondage kits, though, is you have to know. So remember the one that I showed you, like the beginner bondage kit had like really long ties connected to the cuffs. You have to be careful with tying those, because if you were to take that tie and like tie it around your wrist, it might like cut off circulation or it would be just difficult to like get out of. So you have to do like different loops to kind of keep them. So even with those, like you do have to be careful. Like one of my friends in the community was talking about how her first experience with bondage was one of those kits, and like she tied it around her wrist or something, and it hurt because she like it tied too tight. So even like the most basic ties and rope, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how like complicated this all is.
That's what I'm like,
when I'm saying it out, it sounds really different. So like even when you're doing like rope, the most basic tie that you do is like called a single column tie, which we don't need to get into like what that looks like. But the basic point of it is it's not self-tightening. So it ties around your wrist, but it's tied in such a way that it's not self-tightening. Right. And then what I was about to say when we left the coffee shop was, so we talked about like edge play. So if you're doing like needle play and there's like blood, you have to make sure that the area is, the skin is
sterilized.
Yeah. Sterilized.
Dramatic effect. Boom.
Like, yes. Safety. I love it. So you have to make sure the area is sterilized and
the needles, right?
Right.
Needles,
yeah, well. And you have like a sharps container and a first aid kit, and you make sure that the person doing the needle play is like wearing gloves and so things like that. And even in like rope, you make sure that you're not tying around certain like joints or like at the very base of the wrist, or like cutting off nerves and things like that. Like even in the middle of your upper arm, I don't know what that's called. There's
bicep?
A nerve. Yeah. Right there. Radio, right there.
Why can't you see it?
There's like a major nerve, and you have to be careful about that. And so like
there's so much that like you wouldn't realize until you just like jump into it, and then you're like, oh wait, like I actually need to research a lot about this. And you're talking about like practicing too.
Practicing is a huge thing. So like rope is a good example. When I first started, the person who now ties me has been practicing with rope for a really long time, and he's gotten very good and is very good at safety and things like that. But he practices like on his ankles, or like practices on himself, or things like that. Or people who, there are other implements like single tail whips, which kind of look like the bull whips that people are used to seeing, like Indiana Jones style, but not that big. You wouldn't go at somebody with something that big.
I just
big.
Imagined a really sexy role play just now. Oh boy.
You can all like take a moment. See, but that's okay. Small little side note real quick while I get excited. Like, that's what I love about kink, is like you can role play that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's really cool about it, is like it's totally acceptable. Like, you have an Indiana Jones fetish, like go role play that shit. Like, yeah. It's gonna be great. And so that's what I get really excited about, because like people have these ideas and you can explore them safely and with lots of communication. So practicing. So like if you have like the whip or a flogger, which is like the little implement that has the handle and then lots of falls, like tails, little floppy things. I don't know if I'm describing it very well.
No, I think you are.
Okay.
It's good. Like,
go look it up on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Just type in flogger into your Google search.
It'll be fine.
Make sure to specifically do an image search.
And please do it at work.
Yes. Please. Private browsing.
Yeah, exactly.
Private browsing. Yep.
Anyway, so flogger. So you don't just like go at somebody with these without ever having hit somebody because you could really damage something. So if you're going to hit somebody with it, you do like, you make sure you avoid the kidneys or you do practice so that you get accuracy because, I mean, I don't have a diagram in front of me, but there are certain parts of the body you don't want to hit, like the spine. You don't want to hit like the base of the neck. You don't want to hit your kidneys and things like that.
Eyeballs.
Eyeballs. Stay away from the face, please, with that. Anything up. Yeah. No, you don't want that. Or like the stomach has a lot of sensitive organs, so you don't want to be hitting that. Yeah. Things like that. So practicing is really, really important if you're using like hitty implements because you want to make sure you know what you're doing. And it sounds like I'm making kink really scary. Like, be careful. But kink is really fun.
Right. No, I think
like
sometimes
that's the fun part. Yeah.
It seems like kink is sort of, I mean, it's kinky. It's taboo, you know? So people, when they do feel comfortable enough to kind of dip their toes in, a lot of times they're like, I feel like it takes an extra step and some extra courage to get into it enough to learn these things.
Right.
And so just having this information off the bat, I think, is so helpful. Even though it could be like, oh, this is scary, but it's also, I think it's very empowering to just know, like, okay, well, I'd have to practice this.
It makes
It's not that I'm terrible at it. I just haven't practiced it, you know?
Right, it makes it seem more appealing to me, at least, because you have more information, the more you know about it. Then I was like trying not to say it. I was like, I have to. Then it seems less scary just because you know more about it instead of just being this big scary blanket like BDSM
And that's the thing. Like it when I first started, and I mean, and when I say when I first started, it was like 2.5 years ago. So in like kink world, like I'm still a baby. There's a lot that I don't know and I'm like constantly learning. I mean, everybody in the community is constantly learning. I'm not like saying because I've only been in 2 years, but just like I'm still really young in regards to that. So when I first started, I was really, really nervous and it took a friend to take me to like the first TNG meeting. And
can you explain TNG?
Yeah, I was just about to. And so TNG is a, I guess like a kink, not support group, but like community group for people between the ages of 18 and, I'm going to get this wrong. It's either 30 or 35. And it's really a group where people can go to like demos and we have like discussion meetings and munches, which munches are like where you meet in a vanilla setting and you kind of just chat. You hang out.
Did you say munches?
Munches. They're called munches.
That's really cute. That's really cute. It's like, I'm thinking of like munchkins. Like the if anybody knows that game out there, like, I love you. But like, that's what I'm thinking. And it sounds adorable.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Wizard of Oz munchkins?
No, we're talking about, well, that is like could game? Also be cute. There's like a board game called Munchkins. It's like, it's kind of like, I don't know how to explain it.
I've never played it, but I know what you're talking
it's
about.
Really cute.
It's
sorry
like,
to get
it's
us
like
off
a role-playing game. It has like cards, and then it's like it's kind of like a really cute like D&D kind of thing, except with cards instead of like a, it's really
so. Maybe something to do at your next munch.
Wait, well, we do have board game nights actually.
Oh my gosh!
Like, we have TNG board game nights. Yeah,
that's cute.
So
that's
things like that.
Cute.
So we do things to like get to know each other. So the TNG is really a place to connect with a community. Mm-hmm. There are some people who prefer to never like be kinky in public, and so they won't go to these community groups, which is totally fine. Like, do what you do. But then there are some people who like find that the community is really nice. Like for me, I find that having my community, my TNG community, is really just nice to have because it's really normalizing. Like there are other people out there who, you know, share my kinks or like aren't going to judge me for my kinks and aren't going to judge other people for the kinks. So the TNG, it meets at the Gym Toy Center. If everybody knows where that is, it's like where Out Bar is. So it's like
Brown Court,
Out Bar,
by Carytown.
Brown Court, yeah. It's like Out Bar, Common Language, Gym Toy. Yeah. And we meet at the Gym Toy Center the third Tuesday of every month around like 7:45. And those are discussion meetings. So you go, and it's not, like, there's nothing really kinky happening. There's just kinky talk. Like, we're like this month we're talking about, I think, mental health and like what people should know before playing, like what might be triggering for like childhood. So things like that. So really, like those are the things we talk about.
That's so cool.
And we have like demos for people like, man, I really want to learn how to throw a flogger, but I have no idea how. We'll have demos. And so once you get into there, and it took me like it was a bit to go to my first meeting. It took a lot of coaxing because I was really scared. But it is a really welcoming community, and I've met a lot of really, really wonderful people. So like having this information first, I bet if I had this information first, it would be really nice. Like, oh, okay, I guess I can go.
Go play some board games.
Right. I suppose. Yeah. Right. So that's nice because we have a lot of like social outings. Like, yeah, we went and saw a movie together.
Weird.
I think August we're going to go play laser tag. So
oh my God.
We just do a lot of really nerdy things. while also throwing out like kinky jokes every now and then. So it's not scary. Uh-huh. It's a really, TNG is a really, really nice community.
So that'd be a good resource for someone who's like maybe interested in like learning more about BDSM and just looking for sort of a safe place to go and learn some new things, even if they're not ready to become a full-fledged member of the community?
Absolutely, because like I said, the discussion meetings are really, like I said, I mean, you dress in vanilla clothing. Nobody's doing anything, really. Mm-hmm. It's just talking. Or like the Munches are a really nice place. We get a lot of people who want to get a feel for the people. Like we're actually having a Munch tomorrow. What's today? Sunday?
Yes,
tomorrow. Oh. Tomorrow night at, I think, 8 at the Blue Lep, I think. I don't usually go to the Munches because I do trivia on Monday night, but I do something way nerdier. It's fine. And so we have these Munches, which is the first Monday of every month. And that's a really good place for people to go because then they can like talk to people, get a feel for the community, and they can be like, so I had this idea. And people will be like, that's great. That's a great idea. And it's really reaffirming for a lot of people. Which is nice. It's really nice to be reaffirmed in that. So people who are like even mildly curious, like what is this BDSM thing about? If they go to a meeting or a discussion meeting or a munch, that's a good, like the TNG, if they're between those ages of 18 to 35, is a really good way to get a feel for it.
Cool. Is there any sort of like website for it or anything like that? I'm just curious.
So a website for people who are kind of interested in kink is called FetLife. It's kind of like Facebook for kinksters. Oh. It's Fet, like fetish, F-E-T, life. So FETLIFE.com. And you just sign up and you can make a profile. And like I said, it's like Facebook for kinksters. And then on that, there's a group, Ann Arbor TNG. Or, you know, Lansing TNG, like whatever TNG, wherever you are.
And that's letter T, letter N, letter G.
Yeah. And so you can like find it there. Okay. We don't have like a website per se. But on FetLife, like that. FetLife itself, for people who are even like kind of trying to dip their toes into the water, is a really, really good way to get it started because then that's like a whole global community of people who are into it and you can like find any kink at all that you are just interested in. Mm-hmm. Cool. And you do a search and it's like, I'm really into latex. And then poof, a bunch of people who are also into latex. And then you're like, wow, there are others. So it's really nice.
That's awesome. Maybe we could go back to, because we have a little bit more time, is that we could go back to talking about more like, I guess, instruments. I don't know what to call it. Just like
the equipment?
Yeah. Okay. Because I know that you like showed us that like really cool thing, the little like metal
the
like,
Wartenberg
thing.
Wheel.
That was, yeah.
I love the Wartenberg wheel. It's one of my favorite sensation toys. And when people come into the Safe Sex Store S3, they always point to it and go, what is that?
Like, I promise. Like we did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like a look of horror on their face.
It looks like a metal wheel of death.
Yeah, it does look like a metal wheel. But I just want to put out there for everybody who's listening now, like, it's not scary. It doesn't hurt. It feels like, okay, so the Wartenberg wheel it's used for like nerve sensation. I actually had a nurse the other day come in and be like, we use those at work. I like test nerves. And that's what it's for, or like was originally designed for. But it's just like a light prickling. You just kind of run the wheel along the skin and it's like a light prickling. You can make it hurt if you want, if you dig in, but I, you know, wouldn't highly recommend doing that the first time you feel it. And those are really fun because you can get really creative with toys like that. You can like blindfold somebody and like run it along the lips, which is how I felt it for the first time. It was awesome. Highly recommend it. So like there's the Wartenberg wheel and that's more like sensation toys. So like you have somebody bound in some way, or restrained or not, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Or blindfolded, and then you just do things to kind of like play with sensation. So I mentioned floggers. That can be used as a sensation toy. Floggers don't necessarily have to hurt. A lot of them are made with like suede or mm-hmm. like a leather. Mm-hmm. And if used on the back, a lot of them, not all of them, they can hurt. I'm not saying like they don't. Can feel like a massage almost. And we have like the little ones, which aren't, you'd have to hit somebody pretty hard to like really hurt them with it. Like unless you have like a really low pain tolerance.
In the case.
Yeah, like yeah. The Lalo brand that we have. That feels really nice. Like it's like a nice little suede and it's really lovely. And it's good mm-hmm. for sensation toys if you have somebody blindfolded. You can like run it along their skin or like hit them a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
I think there's a lot of possibilities for like sensations. Like absolutely. I've heard like feathers and stuff like
yeah.
that even.
Or we have the, or like, talking about all the things we have at S3. plug. Shameless plug.
Go for it.
or like a slapper. One side's leather and you can like, that stings, right? Mm-hmm. But then the other side's like fur. And so you can do things like that.
Oh.
So I mentioned floggers. I mentioned whips.
I think,
I was going to say, a lot of people do like knife play, like they'll run. I would be very careful. This is not saying go pick up your household knife and run it along skin. Please don't do that. This is another you practice and get to know your right. instrument.
And sterilize.
Well. And sterilize. And like, and it's not, a lot of times the knife play is not meant to cut. It's just meant to be that like scratchy.
Cold metal.
Yeah. Or like, oh my God, there's a knife on me. That's scary, but right. really erotic.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Again, please be very careful. Don't.
Or just go stab someone.
Don't pick up a kitchen knife, please. I don't want to be held responsible for this. So there are things like that. What were you going to
I was just going to say, it sounds like, I mean, this isn't something I've really thought about in the way that you're kind of describing before. It seems like a lot of people, I think, consider BDSM to be kind of playing with pain or playing with that dominant submissive dynamic.
Yeah.
But you're talking a lot about just sort of sensation and unexpected sensation. So that when you can't move your body or you can't see what's going to happen, then these sensations can be heightened. And it doesn't have to be about any kind of hierarchy between the two of you. It doesn't have to be about anything that hurts. Yeah. Just sort of
that's
just
really
playing with the sensation.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that people need to know. I think that's something that makes BDSM more accessible to a lot of people.
I think that's a really, really good point. It can be fun. So like when I, in my little bondage guide, like when I wrote about like, why do bondage? Like you do it because part of it is like it builds, part of it's because it's fun. Like it feels good to have these sensations. It feels like surprising. It feels nice to do these sensations and like watch the reactions of the other person. Like when people who are tied in rope bondage can be a very freeing experience because if you're bound in rope, you can't really worry about the paperwork that you have on your desk right now.
It's like, true.
You're in rope. And so like that's a really like zen time, mm-hmm. or it can be. And then like for the person who's tying the rope, like that's, it takes a lot of trust for someone to let you put them like in a vulnerable position, and that can be really like nice, and so it can build trust and vulnerability. And so there are a lot of other things besides, like I said earlier, you don't have to be into pain. Like,
right.
If you're not into pain, then you don't do it. Like it's fine. You can still do those sensations.
There's a great blog actually. I think it's on Tumblr. It's called Happy BDSM, and it's just a bunch of people who are really happy and are also in some kind of BDSM related situation.
That's amazing.
So you guys should all look it up because it's really cute.
I should link that on the blog.
Everyone is super cute.
Yeah, that's really cute.
It's really happy. Anyway.
I'll have to find that.
Aww,
I've never
really
heard
cute.
Of that before.
I think we should wrap up. And also, we're going to write a blog post about this. We're going to link a bunch of stuff, all of the things that we talked about on sexandtellshow.blogspot.com. And also, you can just go to wcbn.org and Sex and Tell is right there. 6:30 every Wednesday. But thanks so much for coming on the show, Alex.
This was super fun.
And thank you, Kate, for co-hosting with me this time.
Thanks for having me.
So, all right. Have a good day, guys. Let's get it on. Let's love, baby. Let's get it on.